Well, Ezekiel's famous vision has been represented in drama and in song, and please at this point don't go into dem bones, dem dry bones, but wherever you look online, it has its own entry in Wikipedia, Ezekiel's dry bones, and it's so well known, perhaps because of the ridiculous notion of things that couldn't be more dead springing back to life. Desiccated bones in a desert are a powerful symbol of something that once had life being utterly spent. Their sun-bleached brittleness, a reminder that every last drop of life, moisture and energy had long since drained away. Forgotten relics of what once lived and breathed and had purpose. What more potent vision could God give to his people, not just to give them hope of what they might once again become, but to enable them to see the fullness of his power as he not only raised the spiritually dead to life, but took on the utter dryness of crumbling bones, the most hopeless of building blocks for life, and made something powerful from them. Of course, life really only entered the newly reconstructed bodies once God had given his own life breath to them. It's an extreme picture, but it's also a helpful way for us to understand the difference between living through the new birth of the Holy Spirit and merely living. But once we are alive in this new, real sense, we must be aware that it's possible for the process of death to take hold again. Just as muscles atrophy without being used, so God's Spirit ebbs away when its source is not generating the life of Christ within us. The Holy Spirit remains within us by invitation, not by tolerance. It is our engagement with the will and purposes of God, our relationship with him, our living relationship with him, that alone sustains true life within us. Once we are no longer spiritually active, when we no longer seek to grow in relationship with God, what remains is a crumbling religion, the dry bones of what was once kept alive by God's own breath. It is said that in faith we're either moving forward or we're falling back. There is no standing still in Christian faith. So what must we do? Not only to preserve what we have, because preservation is another word for standing still, but to grow, not just to survive, but to thrive as those who have received the breath of life. Another famous passage, this time from the New Testament, gives us the answer. Paul doesn't speak about clinging on to life, but being strong in it. How? By ensuring that we deploy the full armour of God. Now, this can look like some kind of identikit military picture of spiritual survival in apocalyptic times. But it is, in fact, a checklist of what we Christians need, not just to be alive, but to flex our spiritual muscles. In other words, not just to defend what we have, but to advance and take ground, because this is our calling. The devil's schemes against which we are to take our stand include draining the spiritual life from us, reducing us once again to dry and brittle bones, unable to deal with discouragement and disillusionment, let alone advance into the world to play our part in making disciples of all nations. When Paul speaks about the devil's schemes, this is precisely what he's referring to. Discouragement, disillusionment, conviction that somehow it's not going to work. Whenever we look around in church at empty seats, the discouragement within us says, do you remember the times when they used to be full? Some of us may do that. But praise God, some of us today will remember that there are seats full now that were empty just a few years ago. So we're to play our part, writes Paul, firstly by buckling on the belt of truth. We have to be certain about what we believe and why, not relying on our own interpretation of truth, because that will always be subject to our own preferences. The only source of truth is God, His word, His law, His wisdom, not the ever-changing, contemporized definitions of it. The breastplate of righteousness is our personal integrity and sincere commitment to God and His purposes. The footwear of the gospel of peace will provide firm footing, a solid stance, our feet planted in the security of the deep peace of the Holy Spirit within. The shield of faith represents the unfailing protection that is the gift of full, unswerving faith in God, eyes fixed upon Him at all times, during whatever battles we may be engaged in. The helmet of salvation is certain hope, the knowledge that our eternal future is secure. And perhaps this is one of the most important parts of our equipment, because which of us hasn't, perhaps just unguardedly, removed that helmet of salvation and been filled with doubt? When the time comes, how can I be sure that I will be with God? How can I know that I'm worthy? How can I even think that I'm good enough to be in the presence of God? The helmet of salvation is worn precisely because God knows the doubts that assail us from time to time. And He asks us to stand upon the promise that we are saved. We are His children. One theologian put it, Francis Fulks, wrote this. He said, "The soul's deliverance is not a matter of uncertainty until the end. It is not something that we are meant to wrestle with, to think about, to dwell upon, to doubt. It is a matter of certainty, and God has given us that certainty." And Paul encourages to wear that helmet of salvation, that we may retain that knowledge within, that it won't be sucked from us by discouraging circumstances. And all these pieces of equipment are designed to put us in the perfect position to stand firm. But they are all defensive. Now, writes Paul, comes the time not only to preserve our lives, but to do that which we are called to live for. The sword of spirit is placed into our hands. It is a weapon with which to attack, to move forward, to make progress, to take ground. With bodies made strong from dry bones, with flesh and sinew and tendon and muscle to make us strong, and with the life breath of the Holy Spirit within us, we take a firm grasp of the most powerful, effective weapon there is. The greatest asset we have in making other disciples is the Word of God, which is true, a sharp sword which separates truth from untruth, even in our days of uncertain morality. All that Jesus said is true. Every step that the Holy Spirit moves us to take is effective and fruitful, because when we choose to flex our muscles, whatever we have chosen to hold in our hands moves with force and brings about the purpose for which it was designed. Have we received new life? This transformation from a pile of degraded minerals to spiritual vitality? Have we recognized our need for all this armor? Have we recognized that the gift that is given to us to clench firmly in our hands is the gift, the sword of the Spirit? If the answer is yes, we have, then believe that the sword of God's truth in your hand will be moved by your desire to wield it, and will ensure that you will play your part in God's ultimate victory over all that stands in the way of the perfection of His kingdom. Amen.